Good morning. This is talk 7 in our Isaiah series on Isaiah 40 to 66. The series is called Wise for Salvation, and this is Sunday, the 22nd of March 2020. The name of the message today, the sermon, is called The Servant Who Sets Us Free. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever seen this before, but at the start of a homing pigeon race, the birds are all lined up in their cages. But what happens when you let them out? You know, when that starting gun goes off, boom, the cages are opened, the birds are set free, and what happens? Well, they all fly home, don't they? That's the race. First one home. The first one to make it back to their master or their trainer at home. And in many ways, that's what today's message is about. Being set free by Jesus and returning home to God our Father. In the opening verses here of Isaiah 61, we see that this servant of the Lord has God's Holy Spirit upon him and that he has been sent by God. This servant is carrying out God's will for his people, God's plan, if you like. The servant's task will involve proclaiming good news, announcing that there will be freedom for captives, release for the prisoners. He's going to bring healing, comfort, but also there, a crown of beauty and the oil of joy. Now, at this point, you might say to yourself, what is going on here? Why is any of this stuff important for me? You know, good news for poor people, some kind of jailbreak, God's favour, healing, comforting, and then some kind of crowning ceremony. And all this is all for poor people, the brokenhearted, prisoners, people in mourning and grieving, who are going around in sackcloth and ashes, people with a spirit of despair. What's going on? And how is this useful for me? Well, this is all describing God's people in exile. All of these things are going on with God's people. And the main reason, you might remember, is from previous weeks, the main reason is because they have turned their backs on God. And so God has shut them out of his presence. The nation of Babylon has come and invaded and carried them off. They're being carted off into exile, those who've survived the Babylonian invasion. We read last week in Isaiah 56 that all have turned to their own way. Like so many people in our own nation, here in Australia, they're choosing not to follow God's way, but their own way. And that's why this exile event has come upon them. But in exile, God's people start to regret losing their relationship with God. They begin to mourn and grieve the loss of God, the loss of relationship, fellowship, and the loss of blessing. That's the situation and setting that God's servant is now walking into. Look at those first three verses again. Isaiah 61 from verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You can hear him talking to these people who are in exile and comforting them, can't you? Finally, it says there, they will be called oaks of righteousness. Hear that? Oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. This is a picture of God returning to his people, lifting them up out of the dust, wherever they've gone to in exile, and saying to them, let's get you cleaned up. It's time for you to come home, come back, and rebuild the temple and the city which lies in ruins. Come home and worship me again. Be free. Released from the dungeons of Babylon, come home to me. Have you noticed? Have you ever noticed in Australian society today that people think they are so free? People think, you know, think things like, I have the free will to go wherever I want and do whatever I want, just so long as I'm back at work Monday morning to keep making enough money to do the things I want to do. This freedom of choice, you know, what I can buy with my money, how many things I want to buy. There's freedom to travel and go places. There's freedom even to choose who I hang out with, who my friends are, what we'll do together on the weekend. Parties, barbecues, all sorts of things to go to. Weddings, the footy, rodeos and camp drafts. So many things. But you might have noticed that it just takes one virus to show us how elusive and tenuous that freedom that we have really is. Australian freedom. Good old Aussie freedom. We are seeing limited choice in what you can buy at the supermarket even today. Limits on quantities. There's limited choice on where and when I can travel. Can't go to Tasmania. And as we've seen this week, there's limitations on who I can hang out with, how many people I'm allowed to meet with. Do I even have to stay home for 2 weeks and shut myself off from the world because of this virus? Our freedom is not as widespread as we first thought. But even more than that, Jesus points out to us in his word, the Bible, that we don't have freedom at all, he says. We might think we do, but look at what he says here in John's gospel. Look at how tightly bound up and imprisoned we really are. We are imprisoned by sin, he says. Now, if you've got your Bibles there, you might like to turn to John chapter 8. Starting at verse 30 and reading through to verse 36. I'll read it to you now. John chapter 8 from verse 30. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free," he says. Verse 33. Then they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." You see there, without Jesus, we are all stuck in slavery to sin. Every last one of us, tightly bound and unable to escape. Jesus cuts right to the heart of the matter right there, doesn't he? You might think you're free, just like the Jews did, but without Jesus, and just going on our own way, minding our own business, as though we're in charge of our life and our destiny, without Jesus, we're sinners bound for death and destruction, moving headlong towards a collision with God's wrath. And so tightly bound, we can't avoid that trajectory. But see there, Jesus says, "If the Son sets you free, then you'll be free indeed." And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. This is This is what his ministry is all about. We can read about it here in the pages of Scripture. Jesus is all about setting us free, free from the sin that has us trapped. It has us caged. In Luke 4, he reads these very words of Isaiah. It says there from verse 18, Jesus reading this out to people in the synagogue, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me," verse 18 of Luke chapter 4. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. They're all looking at Jesus. In verse 21, he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You see, we can be confident here that Jesus is this servant. He has come to heal the rift between God and his people. He has come to call people home. But see there, he has to set us free. He's got to set us free from sin and death before we can come home. He's got to let us out of the cage before we are able to fly home like homing pigeons. We know from some of our favourite memory verses, some that we've perhaps learned even as children growing up, that Jesus sets us free from sin and death, and instead he blesses us with eternal life. John 3:16 is one of these kind of verses. It says, "God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You see, by dying on the cross in our place, Jesus dresses us in garments of salvation. That's what Isaiah calls it. We are arrayed in robes of righteousness, God's righteousness. This act, this act of Jesus, sets us free from sin and means that we are now able to come home to eternal life with God, our Father in heaven. Furthermore, Jesus promises to come and make his dwelling with us by that same Holy Spirit that he's anointed with. As this happens, Jesus does this, and our body becomes a temple of the living God as he comes to dwell in us by his Holy Spirit. Look what Paul says about this to the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, Paul says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple." As we hear Jesus' call to repent and to turn away from our sins, our very lives are being transformed. As we start to get rid of anger, rage, malice, envy, strife, bad language, immorality, all the sin in our life, as we get rid of these things, we instead clothe ourselves in the ways of Jesus, clothing ourselves with righteousness and salvation. We start to rebuild and restore that relationship with God that he has always intended for us to have. That's what we're made for, you see. That's how we're designed. We're designed as relational beings to be in relationship with each other and with God. And so one of the things I want to encourage you in today is to make use of this time where we can't meet in a big gathering, to concentrate on your relationship with God. That's what we'd love to see you to do, to take the opportunity to concentrate on your personal relationship with God well, we can't meet in a big gathering. It'd be great if you could immerse yourself in God's word and allow it to transform you, to rebuild, renew, and restore you in your walk with the Lord. We're going to be sending out daily devotions to help you to do just that, to sit down, perhaps just you or with your spouse or with your family, and spend time in God's word. Spend time praying and communicating to your God. I want to finish today by looking at how we are to use our freedom in Christ. If Jesus has set us free and we are to return home to a relationship with God our Father, what does that actually look like in practical terms? I think one way that it's described for us is in places like Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Here's what Paul says. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather," he says, "serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbour as yourself." So instead of living like you used to live, the old way of doing your own thing, going our own way apart from God, instead of that, now as God's people, we are called to serve others, to humbly serve one another in love. Think for a moment how we can be doing that in this current crisis. Perhaps you can call those friends you haven't spoken to in a while. Take that opportunity while it's there. Or brighten the day of the lonely widow at home by giving her a call just to see how she's going. Maybe you can offer an elderly member of the community to enter the bedlam of the shopping centre on their behalf to get some of those much-needed supplies. Maybe even share with them some stuff that you've got at home in the cupboard and save them from an ordeal that may well cost them their life in the long run. Even just staying in touch with people, praying with them on the phone, so that in isolation, anxiety does not take them to places they ought not go. There are so many ways that we can be serving, humbly serving one another in love this week and in every week that follows. Remember, we're called to rejoice in the freedom that we have in Jesus. Our souls are to be overjoyed that Jesus has saved us by washing us clean through his death on the cross. We're now dressed in garments of salvation and robes of righteousness. Rescued from sin and death, we can now come home and serve as priests and ministers of God himself. We are set free to stand tall as oaks of righteousness, living temples of God. It's an outstanding image of what God's people are in the world. And as the world looks on, they will see and know that we are blessed, that we demonstrate God's splendor to the world. And as we stand, we too can proclaim freedom to the captives and release for the prisoners, for anyone who is prepared to hear the call of Jesus and give their lives to him. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, our Father in heaven, we want to thank you that you have blessed us by sending Jesus to come and die in our place and to present us with robes of righteousness, garments of salvation, that prospect of living without you for all of eternity. Lord, we pray now that you would help us to stand tall as oaks of righteousness in the world. Lord, help us to be, that message to the world that Jesus has come, that he lives now, that we might be saved. And Lord, we thank you that he rose from the dead after 3 days, and that he leads the victory charge for each and every one of us who put our faith and trust in him. We want to thank you again today that we can know who you are, that you revealed yourself in the scriptures that we have before us. And we thank you that these scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that Jesus promises us. And we thank you for this in his mighty name. Amen.